from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 297, recorded live Thursday, December 15th, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode of the Framework series, Scott talks with Apostolos Bekiaris from DevExpress about the Expand framework.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today we've got Apostolos Bekiaris from DevExpress. He's going to be talking to me about the Expand framework. It's an open source project, and this will be part of the ongoing framework series. And he's Skyping us in. You're in Greece right now, is that right, Talos?
Yeah, I'm in Greece. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how's it going?
Fine in Greece also.
This project, this Expand framework, you created this kind of on your own before you worked for DevExpress, is that correct?
Yeah, it was a personal effort at the beginning, and it went pretty well. Although I wasn't so much of a fan of open source projects at the beginning, but I was dead wrong for that. I believe that the power that open source framework and the publicity we gain from creating and using such projects, it's something that everybody should try.
Why were you not a fan, and what was it that took you to change your mind and realize that the framework was better off open source?
Look, Scott, I believe that 95% of developers do not think, they think that sharing their efforts for free to the community does not worth the trouble. However, this is not the case, because most of us, at least for sure, freelance developers, always are chasing customers, chasing projects, chasing the way to get paid. So even if they work their fingers to the bone, all that work gets no applause. The only applause they get is from their customer, and this is nothing. If they try to publicize their work, automatically this publicity gives them the value they want for their work. And at least from my experience, there will be a huge raise in their salary.
Why were you initially not a fan of open source? And when you created this framework, did you do it closed source and then change your mind and then open it up?
No, initially I was afraid that I would spend too much of my time and I couldn't see the rewards. I couldn't see them at that time. But after I start, initially I started with blogging, and I was a freelance guy, like most of developers out there. So I was chasing projects, and a friend told me, hey, you are good. Why don't you try blogging and expose your ideas to the public and draw attention to your ideas? This is what I did. And I was amazed how fast this blog became popular. And I was also amazed about the strong bond that this blog created with my readers. It was due to their encouragement that I decided to gather these ideas into a framework and eventually build this framework with their support. This is how it all started. After I found a few like-minded guys, everything seemed to fall into a place. The hard part was the let's say, the first 10 blogs or something. After that, the community helped me, and I helped them, and we have a very healthy collaboration right now.
One of the things that I think is interesting about this particular framework, and in fact, we're going to talk to the Telerik guys next week about a framework that they did, is that Expand framework is built on the DevExpress XAF framework. So this is an open source framework that's built on top of another framework. Does the DevExpress framework cost money, and then you have an open source framework that's built on top of a framework that costs money? Is that how that works?
Not exactly. Yes, DevExpress is a commercial vendor, as everybody knows. But Expand framework is open source and it's free. The problem that most of people have with open source is that it's the reliability, Scott. They cannot trust open source because they say, okay, there's a guy, smart guy, and they build that. What if something happens to this guy? How can we follow this guy, how he develops? The point with Expand is that it's not my effort. We build a framework upon a DevExpress commercial framework. That means that we have a documentation, a well-documented DevExpress framework. We all read this documentation, and from the entry points that the XAF is called the DevExpress framework that we are based upon. From the documentation, it's very easy to extend the framework, and if we have problems or bugs or unsolved stuff, we can always rely to DevExpress support center, which is the best support center in the market right now. So it's easy to rely on Expand framework instead if I compare it with other frameworks. This is my point.
Okay. And how do you control what you think belongs in your framework versus what should be in the commercial part of the framework? Because what's interesting about this is that you started the project, it's led by you, and there's other people in the community that work on it with you. You did this community... you did this project yourself without DevExpress. Then you ended up going to work for DevExpress as an evangelist. How do you decide and keep separate what goes in the open source version of this and what goes in the product?
Yes, this is interesting. The thing is that DevExpress is a vendor for developers. On the other side, we are developers that we are building software for our customers. Now, XAF is the base framework. Expand, our framework, extends this. Now, we build software for the business. So, let's say we have a business that targets doctors. So, we build this set of features for doctors. It's very easy due to the modularized architecture of the framework to submit that and contribute it to the community, making our work more testable from other users. And at the end, we do not share the same market. For example, I live in Greece. I sell my software here. I could, for example, build a module, share it with the community. The community will test it, use it, make it mature for me. My customers won't complain about anything because the work is going to be distributed through the community. So it's more about Expand. It's more about business use and not about core development like DevExpress support. So there is no, it's rare to have a conflict with DevExpress. And even if in the situation we have a conflict, let's say that we rely to the DevExpress version and we are going to obsolete ours. This is how it works. I hope I make sense.
Yeah, I think so. How many times have you made something in the open source project and then had the business approach you and said, this is really useful. I want to make this part of the core framework. And how do you manage that? And the reason I ask is that this happens a lot at Microsoft, where someone will be working on a project that is their main project, it's their day job, and then they'll have a thing that they're doing on the side. There's lots and lots of examples of Microsoft employees that do one thing in the daytime and then do an open source project at night. And then every once in a while, their boss or someone will hear about this project they're doing at night and say, wow, we need to use this. If you look at like Signalar from Damian Edwards and David Fowler, or Knockout from Steven Sanderson, or the Wix framework, I mean, the list goes on and on. How do you manage deciding how you want to move things over and keeping your job and your open source separate?
This framework is more about it's not my decision to manage things. So if somebody has this cool module that does, for example, some kind of Excel importing, he can easily contribute it to the framework. So the feedback from the community is going to value the project, his module, and eventually DevExpress, that is monitoring all the community, takes the decisions and say, yes, we want to build this module in our great and high quality way of building stuff. This is how it worked for us.
And have you had them take source from your open source framework and move it into commercial, or have you had them change it? Because sometimes I've seen companies take an open source piece of code and then rewrite it entirely from scratch. They like the functionality, but they end up rewriting it. And then other times I've seen people actually just reference the open source library and support it. You've heard people tease Microsoft about the term embrace and extend. I think that people prefer commercial companies to support open source and to depend on it. I wonder sometimes, do you find a interdependency? Do you find that your frameworks depend on each other? Or is it always a matter where Expand framework sits on top of the commercial framework?
Yeah, it's a matter of thinking. Sometimes they depend. Sometimes they not, but almost all the times, if the vendor, in this case DevExpress, decides to re-implement the feature, it's going to do exactly that. It's going to re-implement the feature because it has the vendor has the process of testing, of ensuring quality. So most of the times, DevExpress is going to re-implement the features, write the documentation, and Expand serves just as a community feedback, and also is a way for a developer to convince DevExpress that his work is good enough to be hosted in the core framework and as an out-of-the-box feature. For example, before I joined DevExpress, there were many, many times that I had this cool functionality and wanted and go back to DevExpress and say, come on, guys, put that. You see it. It's very good. It's an excellent idea. But as we can understand, any vendor, not DevExpress, will reject this because does not have the quality. They are things of licensing. But now if you host it in Expand framework and gain publicity and the customer base likes the module, then it's no way for the vendor, DevExpress. They have to implement it and they have to document it and they have to be an out-of-the-box feature.
Yeah. I think that the key there, of course, is that the commercial company has to accept takebacks. And that's the thing that I think Microsoft is struggling with, and I hope that we'll fix, that there's a lot of examples of open source projects where people have built on top of our things, just exactly as you described. I think like MVC Contrib is a great example where the community has said, if Microsoft doesn't do something the way that the community wants, then we'll create a Contrib project for that that will move faster than the core project. That's the other thing, that open source projects can kind of live on the bleeding edge. So you've got methcontrib and MVC contrib. It's a good way for community members to get recognized and get their products used, but it only really ultimately works if you can start pulling in those ideas and that code and take backs into the project. And that's where the thing about Microsoft that myself and others are trying to change, to make open source really open source and not just source opened. How open has DevExpress been to actually accepting open source into their project?
They are not so open right now, but as everybody, they are learning, and as a good faith in our latest release, I'm talking about DevExpress now, expand is hosting in the same menu. I'm talking about the start menu, so there is a folder along with the DevExpress components that say extensions, so there you can find expand and whatever framework is going to be created in the future. So I think right now DevExpress embraces the community development.
I definitely think that DevExpress and companies like them embrace the community, but I think that all companies, unless they are self-identified as an open source company, struggle with that last mile. The last mile is that moment when you have to pull community code into your product and take that risk or deal with the ramifications of, wow, we really are going to be an open source company now. We're taking commits and we're taking pull requests. Some companies just do it and they don't worry about it, but commercial companies seem to really stress out about that stuff. It's good that you're going to keep pushing people to accept open source in a more full way. You know, you have to kind of close that cycle. Do you think that you'll get them to change?
Yeah, I believe that if the open source project is successful and has a large user base, then it's inevitable that the commercial vendor it will want to compete the open source, so it will want to build the same features or even better. I think it comes from the how successful and how well the people collaborate in the project.
Right, because that's a very good point as well. Building an open source framework is the code that you're working on and how good that code is, but there's also the health of your community and the health of your committers and whether or not you get along well as a group. I can think of a couple of projects, I won't name names, that are great technology but dysfunctional groups. And if you can't get along with your collaborators and work as a well-oiled machine, then you don't really have a framework.
Yeah, I believe that at the end, people work for... this is how we start our conversation. At the end, people work for themselves. So contributing something here, it's not something that I will take the credit. If the work is good, they will take the credit. For example, we have members in Expand framework that now belong to the MVP program of DevExpress because of this contribution. So it's all about, yes, collaboration and teamwork.
So Expand framework is all of these modules, and there's a long list of modules at expandframework.com that sit on top of the XAF framework. But I'm trying to understand, are these modules just a list of modules, or do they all work together? Is the framework a bunch of disjointed components, or does it all fit in a cohesive way?
I will answer this. First, let me tell you how XAF works, what XAF is. XAF is an application framework from DevExpress that can build highly configurable line of business applications. So it has this great modularized architecture. So at a very well documented site and framework. So what we have to do is to follow XAF by the book. So we go to the documentation, see how to create a pluggable module. Okay, we have a need. We read the documentation. We build the module. We contribute it to expand framework. Other users test it. This all, everything works in a pluggable fashion. So there is no need to have everything installed. And this gives the contributors the easy to contribute. So if a module of a contributor is not good, then within a week or so, the community will reject it by giving no value and by reporting a lot of bugs. So it's a very pluggable system that targets both platforms. This is how it works.
Okay. And when you say, you said highly configurable, is the thing that the framework provides that is the most useful, is that it makes business applications more configurable, more flexible?
Yeah, it's based around an MVC model and the XAML architecture. So everything is described over XAML, so you can persist or change the behavior of your application by just querying a XAML and merging it into your model. It's a very interesting architecture, and it's very mature because XAF right now is 5 years old and it suffers with no bugs and has a huge functionality like pivoting, reporting, workflow, targeting almost 15 different database systems. So it's it models the work we do as developers every day by abstracting away the low level stuff we do not need to care. We as developers need to build applications fast and grab some money out of that. This is what XAF does by just providing a domain model. And when I'm talking about domain model, let's talk about a doctor's domain model. By just providing a set of interfaces, it is possible for XAF to create scaffolding using all the components of Gex Experience Suite, and we are talking about hundreds of components, and creates a user interface for you. And there is a model that you can modify the behavior of the user interface. This is XAF in a nutshell. Now, what Expand does? Expand wraps ideas and frameworks using the technology provided by XAF. XAF builds user interfaces out of a model. So let's talk about a module of Expand. A module of Expand, an interesting thing, is the world creator. As the name implies, it builds worlds. So what we have done, we did that. We took the structure of an assembly. A structure of an assembly is classes, members, properties, attributes, and we create classes out of that. Classes that say assembly, class name. This is what XAF needs in order to provide a user interface. So now we have a user interface that the end user, the business user, can use it to create more classes and properties, and thus changing the domain model at runtime. This is a beautiful thing, and this is what every developer needs, because we usually go to the client, distribute an application, and then what? We don't need to go back and add a new member to our class at Visual Studio and go back and distribute. This is a mess, as you understand. So with Expand, we try to bridge the developer's world with the business world. For example, let me talk about another usage of Expand framework. I don't know if you are familiar with Quartz framework. Quartz is a framework that creates jobs, has triggers about jobs, is a very mature API. It comes from the Java world. Now it's ported to the .NET. What is missing from that API? From every API is missing a user interface. If I had a user interface, I could teach my administrator to create jobs and triggers for me. I could push the work to my administrator. So this is what XAF is good for, and we create a module that just wraps these classes of Quartz and provides a user interface for that. And now everything is more flexible. I hope you see my points.
And as I understand it, is it true that you're able to create both UIs in web forms and in Windows as well?
XAF is built, the design is targeting multi-platforms from its core, and it's very interesting. After you get used to it, I'm sure nobody will go back to traditional programming because it makes things very... Yes, it's true. Because it makes things very reusable, and it really teaches you how to build a framework. And Expand framework is the proof to what I'm saying.
Well, I'm really glad that you came on the show to talk to us about this. People can check this out at expandframework.com. They can go up at the top there. There's a whole list of contributors and people that work with you from all sorts of other different companies. So congratulations to those guys for all the hard work. They can go up and download the latest version of Expand, as well as check out the source. Apostolos, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you also, Scott. Have a nice day.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.